I'll always respect the trophies most that have a chance of winning. So whereas your domestic trophies for me are still your absolute bread and butter.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Turn it to golf. Sarah Byrne, good morning to you.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm flying it. How are you getting on? This is your first actual day as a professional golfer.
Yeah, definitely a different sort of feeling, kind of weird, but I'm really excited to start the new journey.
Was it something that was inevitable for you? Did you like feel it coming? Was it the success of the Curtis Cup? How did you get to that point?
Well, I kind of knew probably at the beginning of the year, really, that if I was to get picked for Curtis Cup, I'd turn pro straight after. That was kind of the plan. But this has been coming since I was probably 9. This is what I've always wanted to do. And it was really, really nice to obviously cap it all off and put a bow on my amateur career, exactly how I did in Curtis Cup last weekend.
It's amazing. You did brilliantly. We're going to get to that, by the way, so don't worry about that. Talk to us. I said today was your first practice. You're literally teeing off at the Rose Ladies Open of the European Tour in Hertfordshire today. What's your tee off time?
12:55. So we have a couple hours. Yeah.
Are you nervous?
Kind of, yeah. I'm always a little bit nervous before teeing off, but honestly, there's so much things going on at the minute that it's kind of hard to think about. Once 12:50 comes around, I think the nerves probably start settling in a little bit. But no, look, it's kind of the same things as what I've always trying to been doing. I've been playing golf my whole life. Just because it's amateur to pro, I'm trying to not make too big of a deal out of it. This isn't my first pro event. So it's just the first one I'm playing as a pro. Yeah. So in the end, I'm just trying to think of it like that. So I'm just going to just try and learn and enjoy it as much as possible.
Ultimately, the TV cameras, like you say, it's not your first rodeo, but the TV cameras and all that sort of exposure, you're trying to blot that out once you get to the first tee. Are there techniques that you work on? Do you work with somebody in relation to that, or is that all coming from within?
More coming from within. I did a lot of work during my college years with my head coach. I do have a sports psychologist, but that's more off the course kind of stuff. Honestly, I just get really focused in on what I'm doing and I kind of forget about anything else that's kind of going on around me.
Yeah.
How will your day-to-day change now, Sarah, in terms of being an amateur versus a professional? Like, we had Kate Lanigan on a Saturday panel recently, high-performance amateur, and she was talking about the day-to-day life. But would it change drastically for you now in a professional circuit?
No, not really, because to be fair, collegiate Division I athletics kind of primes you for that. We kind of live a life that is basically a professional athlete with a full-time job at college too. So honestly, kind of I thought about that throughout this summer, having no college work to do and because I graduated. But honestly, nothing is going to change. I kind of go about my business as the way a professional athlete would anyway. So it's just kind of doing the same. I get it. Just because it's from amateur to pro doesn't mean I'm going to change my whole life or change everything I do. And I think that's a lot of, I've gotten given that advice from professional athletes kind of coming into the last couple of months. And they were like, just because you're turning pro, that does not mean everything has to change. So I'm going to try and keep everything as the same as possible, kind of going, because I've been playing well enough. Like, my gut is good enough to get me out on tour. So I'm not going to start changing that now.
Or until you figure out, like, what are the good ideas from the bad ideas that you don't need to implement so quickly.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is going to be a transition. It's going to take a little bit of time. I'm going to learn what works and what doesn't work. So I think that's just what I'm kind of taking the next few months as, with as many starts as I can get, and just like learn. Don't put too much expectations on myself and just like figure out what works and what doesn't.
So are you, because you've come in at this age, is it invitations that you need now over the next while? How does that work?
Yeah, pretty much, because I don't really have a status really on any tour. I have a little bit of status on the LET Access Tour, which is the tour underneath the Ladies European Tour. But I've been lucky enough, I've gotten a lot of invites coming off the back of Curtis Cup, which was quite nice. So it was a good time to have a good performance, to be fair, which I was very happy about. So I'm having about 3 LET events, which is the Ladies European Tour, and then a couple of LET Access, and then obviously have like LPGA Q School and LETQ School as well. So a busy couple of weeks and a couple of months till the end of the year.
Are you conscious of that? I was watching some of the highlights, and I would recommend people to go onto Sky website and check out the highlights of it, because some of your play was absolutely world class. Are you conscious of that when you're going around, that I need to do well here? And like, listen, you're I think second highest ranked player on the Ireland and Great Britain team anyway, so it's no great surprise. But are you conscious of that trying to sprinkle in a bit of that magic that'll give you that bit of profile that'll help you out?
Honestly, no, because again, during when you're playing, it's literally all you're focused on is trying to hit that good shot. And I think maybe it's the before and after the event, maybe before the event starts or after the event starts, you kind of start thinking of, oh, what if I play well? What if I don't? And all those little things. But when once you're during the event, no, it's kind of, it's very much focused on the task at hand. And you, it's literally, I forget about everything else that's going on other than that one shot that I have.
How nice is it, Sarah, to have a team environment? I mean, it must be quite individualistic on the golf tour at different times throughout mm-hmm. the year, so it must be, and you see it with the Ryder Cup as well, like the celebrations and everything is a bit more over the top because it's that team dynamic, I guess, which must be enjoyable for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Like golf is such an individual sport, and individual sports have their pros and cons, but it definitely can be a very lonely place at times. And team golf is just, it's something so special because I think everyone enjoys it just that little bit more than regular teams when they're, because it's something so rare. And obviously Curtis Cup is like a very rare occasions every 2 years, like the Ryder Cup, everyone in the Solheim Cup, like everyone loves to play in us. And the way we did it that weekend, we won, we had such a great team around us. Our captain, Katrina Matthew, and our vice captains, Catherine and Marie and Karen Stoppels. Like, these are the people that I grew up idolizing. Like, if you were to tell me at 10 that when I went to watch the Solheim Cup, that those people playing would be my Curtis Cup captains in 2024. Like, it's just stuff that, like, I wouldn't believe you, or it's just kind of laughing at it. And it was a really, really cool weekend. And just team golf is just, it's something so special. And then it makes the next week a little bit harder to play, go out there by yourself and then compete against your teammates. But no, it's all part of the game, and it's fun.
Curtis Cup, the amateur version of the Solheim Cup, played every 2 years, last won by Ireland, Great Britain back in 2016. This was the 43rd running of it. It was at Sunningdale last week, and you, Great Britain and Ireland, ended up on the winning side in no small part to yourself. You played all five sessions, you were unbeaten, and you won your Sunday singles 3-2. It was a dream week.
Yeah, pretty much. Just summing it all up, a dream week. I could not have imagined it would go that way, especially it's such a high level. Like, we're playing such a high-ranked US team too, and yeah. I play against all those US girls in college throughout my years, and like, we had a hard task at hand, and to think I did that undefeated is it was really special. I honestly still can't believe it. I think it's I don't think it has sunk in just yet.
Was that something you talked about in the dressing room? Shane touching it there, but and like in terms of that rankings bit, outside of Lottie Wode, who's the world number one ranked player, Hannah Darling at 30, and yourself just inside the top 50. Most of the team are in and around the 100 mark versus the US, who have four players in the top 10 and no one outside the top 40. Was that a motivation for you? Did you talk about it?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, I think we talked about it a lot, kind of going into that week, just to get comfortable with everything and kind of know where we stand. And we always go in as the underdogs, always. It's the same as Ryder Cup. USA and will always be the people on paper that are supposed to win. I think we were just instilled with the belief that, like, rankings on paper doesn't matter, especially in golf, and especially in a match play where it's one match, like, per thing, that you just, you never know what's going to happen. Like, world number 1,000 could beat world number one in one day. You never know what's going to happen. So I think that was just kind of instilled in us, in that belief that, like, it doesn't matter if they're ranked 10 or if they're ranked 100. It does not matter the thing. It's, let's go out there and play the best golf. Because when it comes to this sort of level, the top 100, between the difference between world number one and world number 50 is minute. Like, there's not that big of a difference. And I think we were kind of told, like, we were told we got to get to 10.5, just keep thinking of that number and keep getting it there. And that's exactly what we did.
You were saying, Sarah, that you sometimes naturally enough get nervous before tea time. Like, say on the back nine on Sunday for that singles match, I mean, are you nervous at that point? Or are you just completely in the zone? Or what's going through your head at that point where you realise, this is going to come down to the wire here and I'm going to be heavily involved?
Yeah, I think when there wasn't that many leaderboards on the golf course, which was actually really good for us on that last day, because if I had seen the amount of red that was on that board, I think it would have been a bit not ideal. But I caught a glimpse of it after my 13th hole, and a lot of red, and I was like, okay, we're obviously leading my point here. So I think that kind of just made me kind of lock in a little bit more. Honestly, I was playing so well, and it was one of those days where I was just hit the ball and I went where I wanted it to, and the putts were kind of rolling in. So again, I was just trying to get everything else out of my head and focus in at the task at hand, which I did extremely well, which I'm really pleased about. And because you obviously get a little bit of nerves, but as soon as I get out in that golf course and that, I think the whole environment and the atmosphere really just makes you kind of lock in with the crowd there, with the TV cameras there, with the roars kind of going around. And I think it honestly makes you just lock in a little bit more.
How important to your development has it been that you've had the same team around you in terms of coach, trainer? I think your dad, Derek, is your manager as well. Like, you know, from a young age, having that same team around you, the continuity of that, has that helped?
Yeah, absolutely. It's coming to this point now where I've been working with everyone about 10 years or more, 10 years plus. And I think that just makes everyone know exactly how I'm feeling, what I'm doing wrong, like my tendencies that make things bad, make things good. And we just know exactly how I'm feeling and exactly what to do to fix those things. And those kind of, like, it obviously then just kind of make turning pro so much easier too, because I have these people that I trust and I know that make me better. And that just kind of helps me kind of turn pro and make life a little bit easier.
Was there something in the, like, again, just looking at some of the play on day one, coming down the stretch, your shots in 16, 17 particularly were sensational. Same again on Sunday, real clutch shots. Indeed, to come from behind, as I said earlier on, to get it done 3-2, and you put your team 9-6 up at that time, as you said, it was pretty vital. Is there something that came out in you that week that you're thinking, this could be good for me going forward, that, like, maybe you might not be as used to doing when you're playing stroke play?
Honestly, like, it was just, I think coming out of that week, I just thought maybe I'm better than what I thought I was.
Really?
It's really, really nice. It kind of gives me that confidence kind of going forward. But, like, my whole goal for when I was 9 and 10, all I want to do is play Solheim Cup. That's all I want to do. Like, that's the reason I play golf, is to play Solheim Cup. So I think having this experience of playing Curtis Cup and knowing that coming down the stretch that I was put out in the anchor match and, the first day, and then to try and get those points under pressure. And that's exactly what I did. I think that makes me like, okay, yeah, I can come in clutch when I need to. And I've saw that a little bit in college too, when I was winning my two events there, and where when I needed to chip in or when I needed to hold a good putt, I did it. So I think just taking that confidence kind of going forward, it's harder to do in match play because you don't quite have that, the same sort of momentum and adrenaline kind of head on head like match play is. But I think taking that kind of stuff and confidence kind of going forward is definitely helpful.
You mentioned earlier on about seeking advice from other professional athletes. Are they within the golf sphere? Are you on to Leona or Olivia Mahaffey, Stephanie Meadow, or these people that you can get in touch with and say, listen, I'm at this juncture. Okay, what are you thinking?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, even Leona was asked at the Irish Open, kind of a little bit of advice to help me. And she kind of said, just keep the same team or get a good team around you. Like, lucky enough, I have a really good team around me already, and just kind of keeping that. But, like, I've been kind of talking to different kind of pro golfers kind of over the last couple of years too. And, like, obviously having the week that we just had, like, I was talking to Katrina Matthew, I was talking to Justin Rose, I was talking to Sam Torrance, Conor Montgomery, like Paul McGinley, all these sort of people that are golfing greats, then we're at our disposal that week of ask any sort of questions that we need. And again, it was just like kind of believe in yourself and don't change too much and just go out there and enjoy the whole experience and the whole time. And especially then kind of coming into the next couple of weeks, obviously I've come off such a long kind of couple of weeks too. So just don't put too much expectation on ourselves and just go out there and play some golf and kind of learn what works for myself.
Gary Murphy was making the point recently that between yourself and Anya Donegan and Beth Coulter and some of those younger crop maybe that are coming through, it's way more impressive than the crop that are coming through on the men's side. Is that something to do with the system, or is that just a kind of a fluke?
Probably something to do with the system. Like, obviously, I've been part of a Golf Ireland squad since I was 13. I went to an English under-16s event or something as part of a Irish squad. So this isn't just like an overnight success. This has been in the making for a very long time. And obviously, I think you kind of see it through other things too. Like when Roger Carrington won his first majors, then every single Irish guy on tour started winning majors. You know, that kind of way. Like, it's just once one starts, just a herd kind of follows. Like, we have Leona make it to the LPGA, and now you have kind of a herd starting to follow. Like, I think it's just a thing that just gradually happens. And obviously the collegiate system in the States as well, like, most of us went over there, and that's a big part of that too for us. We have such a big standard of golf over there, and if you get to the right college and get to the right place that works for you, it's major, and that can extremely push you on to the next level too.
What do you do for the next 3 hours?
Do a little bit of stretching, eat some good food, probably scroll on TikTok for a little bit, and head and do a little bit of a warm up and play some golf again.
Well, listen, we wish you the best of luck. It's been, everybody, Douglas Golf Club as well is very excited to watch your progress. So we'll be the same watching on and cheering you on. Sarah Byrne, thanks a million for jumping on.
Thanks very much, guys. Thank you.
I'll always respect the trophies most that have a chance of winning. So whereas your domestic trophies for me are still your absolute bread and butter.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.